you are not homophobic, then find a workable solution under the law that protects our relationships in the same way your relationships are protected under the law.
We'd like to tell you a little bit about what the Vermont legislature has to say about us.
Parties in a civil union shall have all of the same benefits, protections, and responsibilities under law as are granted to spouses in a marriage.
So are there any therapists here? They're all going, why do you ask?
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. A Japanese court upholds HIV privacy while Cyprus cleans up its sodomy law, American and Australian medical groups nix change therapies, and Vermont warriors celebrate impending civil unions with millennium marchers. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 17th, 2000. A Japanese court took a strong stand this week for privacy regarding HIV status. The plaintiff had been tested without his knowledge at the request of his employer as part of a regular company physical exam and was laid off soon after it was learned that he is HIV positive. For the first time in Japan, the medical facility that performed the test, specifically one of its directors, was ordered to pay damages. For only the second time, the man was ordered reinstated in his job. Plastics processor Takigawa Chemical Industries Limited of Ichikawa, Chiba, was ordered to pay 3.1 million yen in lost wages and 2 million yen in damages. The director of the Ichikawa Municipal Higashi Hospital was ordered to pay 1.5 million yen damages, for a total award equivalent to about $62,000. A similar case was filed this week in Tokyo District Court against the city's Metropolitan Police Department. A police recruit was required to give blood for testing he did not understand would include an HIV test. When it was found he had HIV, he was barred from the police academy and told that he could not handle police work. He is seeking 12 million yen in damages.
The Parliament of Cyprus this week replaced anti-gay language in its sexual offenses law. In 1998, Cyprus finally decriminalized private homosexual acts between consenting adults 5 years after Alekos Modinos won a lawsuit in the European Court of Human Rights and only after a series of threats from the Council of Europe. But as it grudgingly acted for decriminalization, the Parliament retained offensive and discriminatory language, translated as unnatural licentiousness. This week, while many opposed legislators walked off the floor of the House of Deputies in protest, the offensive terms were replaced with the phrase intercourse between men. Modino said the 1998 law did not put the homosexual person on an equal footing with the heterosexual. I hope that with this amendment, homosexuals will be dealt with as equals and as first-class citizens like the rest of the population, and that only the criminals will be punished, whether they are homosexuals or heterosexuals.
Two groups this week came out against programs purporting to convert gays and lesbians to heterosexuality. The annual conference of the powerful American Medical Association adopted a resolution opposing psychiatric therapies that assume homosexuality is a mental disorder and therapists who suggest gays and lesbians change their sexual orientation. Similar resolutions had previously been adopted by the American Psychological Association and the American Psychiatric Association. The Australian Psychological Society also adopted a statement against therapies which attempt to change sexual orientation. While the Australian Council for Lesbian and Gay Rights would have preferred a stronger statement, its spokesperson Rodney Croom felt the psychologist's position would serve to convince those with good intentions but little knowledge, such as mainstream church groups, not to support change therapies.
The Australian state of Tasmania has at least 120 laws that discriminate against same-gender couples relative to unmarried heterosexual couples. That was the testimony of the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group before the state's Parliamentary Community Development Committee, which is carrying out an inquiry in relation to the Significant Personal Relationships Bill now pending before the state parliament. Rights Group spokesperson Jared Bryan offered documentation of discriminatory laws on a wide range of topics, including inheritance, pensions, taxation, compensation for accidents and natural disasters, property division on dissolution, guardianship, funerals and autopsies, legal testimony, licensing, and even the Anti-Discrimination Act. He called for one omnibus bill to amend all the discriminatory laws to recognize gay and lesbian couples.
Just such a bill was introduced this week by the government of British Columbia. The province already has some of the most equitable laws in Canada for gay and lesbian individuals, partners, and families. But the Definition of Spouse Amendment Act, Bill 21, will amend a wide range of laws to ensure gay and lesbian couples the same legal status as unmarried heterosexual partners.
This week, Dane County became the first county in Wisconsin to extend spousal health care benefits to the domestic partners of its unmarried employees, regardless of gender, by a vote of the Board of Supervisors. A similar move at the state level failed in the Wisconsin legislature this year.
The Iowa Board of Regents voted 5-3 this week to extend spousal health insurance benefits to the same gender partners of gay and lesbian employees of the University of Iowa. Those employees have been able to purchase the coverage since 1993, but now the university will make the same contribution as it does for married couples. Although the cost will be a tiny fraction of the university's nine-figure budget, the move comes at a time when the state has cut millions from the system's funding, and some regions predicted a political backlash.
A Nevada group filed petitions this week for a constitutional amendment to deny legal recognition to same-gender marriages another state may someday perform. In each of the state's 17 counties, the Coalition for the Protection of Marriage was able to collect 2 to 4 times as many signatures as needed to qualify for the November ballot, although it may take 2 weeks for officials to certify them. A survey has found that twice as many voters favor the marriage ban as oppose it. If the measure succeeds this year, it will require a second vote in 2002 to be enacted. The initiative is receiving significant financial support from the Mormon Church.
But a similar measure passed by a landslide in California this year has not changed the tide of public opinion towards tolerance, according to a survey released this week. It had been feared that the successful campaign for Proposition 22 would stir up anti-gay sentiment, but the survey seems to indicate it actually raised awareness of the issues confronting same-gender couples. Compared to a similar survey last year, this poll found a drop in opposition to same-gender marriage from 57% to 50%. Disapproval of gay and lesbian couples dropped from 44% to 38%, while nearly two-thirds of respondents were either favorable or neutral towards them. The number who believed the reason for same-gender marriages would be to allow couples to express their love and commitment to their partners just as heterosexual couples do jumped by 10% to nearly half. There was also a 10% jump in those who believe strongly that same-gender couples can be good parents, against an 8% drop in those who reject the idea. About two-thirds of respondents believe there will be civil marriage for same-gender couples in their lifetimes.
The primary election in South Carolina this week appears to have ousted the only openly gay Republican elected official in the South. David Schwack had already served 5 years as solicitor for the Ninth Circuit when he was essentially forced out of the closet by leaders of the Charleston County Republican Party in 1997. That group had supported his candidacy in 1992 and in 1996 when he was unopposed in both the primary and general elections. At their instigation, he was investigated on allegations of downloading pornography on his office computer and of intervening in the prosecution of an acquaintance for having gay sex with underage teens, although a grand jury refused to indict him. This week, Ralph Hoisington appeared to have defeated him with the campaign slogan, "For Our Families," and promises to aggressively prosecute sexual predators. The margin was less than 1%, triggering an automatic recount. No one doubts that homophobia played a role in this outcome.
But perhaps the most surprising news in U.S. politics this week was a former staff member's revelation that Reform Party presidential hopeful Pat Buchanan might like much-protested anti-gay radio talk show host Dr. Laura Schlesinger as a running mate. Pundit and former cabinet member Buchanan is noted for his vitriolic anti-gay culture war rhetoric. StopDrLaura.com leader John Aravosis could only say, Pat Buchanan and Laura Schlesinger is a match made in, well, it's a match. Continuing nationwide protests against Schlesinger's upcoming syndicated TV show will be held in at least five more cities in July.
A group that commended Schlesinger's opposition to homosexuality was protested by more than 100 gays and lesbians and their allies this week. 28 demonstrators were arrested in a planned civil disobedience as the Southern Baptist Convention annual conference further codified its anti-gay positions. The protest action was organized by gay Reverend Mel White's nonviolent Soul Force group and included members of several denominations. Reverend Ed Harris, a gay retired Southern Baptist pastor, was the first to be arrested for unlawful assembly. Six protesters were released on bond, while the other 22 remained in jail at least overnight until an initial appearance before a judge. Inside the convention hall, conference delegates adopted a revised Baptist faith and message statement, the denomination's core document short of Scripture, for the first time in almost 50 years. The new statement includes the admonition that Christians should oppose all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, homosexuality, and pornography.
And finally, Sir Elton John fired off an uncharacteristically stinging reply to Archbishop of Glasgow Cardinal Thomas Winning this week in The Standard. Winning had written in an article last week that gay sex is wrong because such behavior is not good for the human person, and that far from liberating a person, it ensnares them in a lifestyle that can never respond to the deepest longings of the human heart. In his letter to The Standard, Sir Elton demanded to know, from what practical perspective does he form this point of view? As a cardinal and presumably a celibate and solitary individual, how could he possibly be in a position to judge? Sir Elton, who has long had a partnership with David Furnish, proudly proclaimed, as a gay man, I am perfectly happy with my sexuality and my life. I can honestly say that the deepest longings of my heart are satisfied.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending June 17th, 2000, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
What's left to say about religion and therapy in the lesbian, gay, and trans community? We'll get humorist Kate Clinton started later in the program. The news this week that an initiative that would bar legal recognition to out-of-state same-gender marriages is likely to qualify for the November ballot in Nevada brings to mind the all-too-recent victory of a similar measure in California. Several factors helped put the Knight Initiative, or Proposition 22, into the national spotlight, but it was really just a symbol of the widespread political backlash against the passage of civil unions for gay and lesbian couples in Vermont. In the face of that backlash, activists are stressing the hopeful signs for future gains, not the least of which is the approach of the big day in Vermont, July 1st, when the first civil unions will be performed. That was the theme of a Millennium March on Washington rally speech by actor Mitchell Anderson, perhaps best known for his continuing role in the popular TV show Party of Five.
This is my husband, Richie Arpino. I introduce him to you because on March 7th, 2000, California voted on the value of my relationship. A conservative, homophobic state senator from Palmdale put an initiative on the California ballot that said only a marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. Pete Knight, who has a gay son and whose brother died of AIDS, set the moral agenda for California. He forced the state to give an up or down vote on my life and my love. The voters spoke. And by a margin of 61% to 39% said that my relationship is not valid and should not be recognized. Their message was very effective. They said that they were by no means bigoted or homophobic. They said that it was not about discrimination. It was our state, they said, and we shouldn't let Vermont or Hawaii dictate the laws of our state. Furthermore, they said that gay and lesbian couples already have many of the rights that their straight married friends have, like the right to visit a sick spouse in a hospital, or the right to adopt a spouse's child, or the right to inherit a spouse's estate. Their message, my friends, was a lie, and it won. Our message was compelling but not very effective. We challenged voters to see through the 14 words of the amendment and see that discrimination hurts us all and weakens us all. What we experienced in California was heartbreaking because we lost, but it was also exhilarating because of what it forced people to do. Voters in the largest state in the country had to think for the first time in their lives about the value of gay and lesbian families in the context of society. And if they listened to Pete Knight and voted to keep marriage between a man and a woman, then they also had to admit no bias against gays and lesbians in general. I say to them, fine. If that's what your vote meant, if you are not homophobic, then find a workable solution under the law that protects our relationships in the same way your relationships are protected under the law. We in California look to the great state of Vermont, who has set an incredible precedent, who has set the precedent for the rest of the country. We applaud the action of the legislature and the governor for signing the first civil union bill in the country. I see a world where my relationship is honored and respected. I see a world where my relationship is not questioned at the hospital door. I see a world where my relationship is valid in probate court. I see a world where my relationship adds to the strength of all families in America. I see this world in my lifetime. Thank you.
Despite the California defeat of same-gender couples' rights described by Mitchell Anderson at the Millennium March, the silver lining in that cloud was revealed this week. A survey commissioned by the Horizons Foundation and the Human Rights Campaign found that the Proposition 22 battle actually had a positive effect on public opinion in the state towards gays and lesbians overall. However, the true test of how the public will handle legally recognized lesbian and gay couples will be in Vermont, where civil unions will be a reality in a matter of days. Key players in the lawsuit that led to the enactment of civil unions shared their accomplishments and future aspirations at the Millennium March. Gary Busick, Executive Director of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, introduced Beth Robinson and Susan Murray, the lesbian attorneys who represented the Baker Case couples, who in turn introduced one of their three client couples, Stan Baker and Peter Harrigan.
We bring you great news from the great state of Vermont. Forget January 1st, 2000. Remember December 20th, 1999, 12 days earlier, when the Vermont Supreme Court changed the world as we knew it forever. For the first time, a state's highest court recognized that our families exist and that we were being treated unequally by the law, and they ordered that it be fixed. The Vermont Court didn't do this with some fancy legal theory. They did it with a very simple one. They said the Vermont Constitution requires that all Vermonters must have equal access to all public benefits and protections. The courts ultimately brought us this decision, and I urge you to support your legal organizations, whether it's GLAAD in New England or Lambda Legal Defense or National Center for Lesbian Rights. And, of course, we can't do this just in the courts. And I want to introduce you to two extraordinary Vermonters, both lawyers who started the Vermont lawsuit with GLAAD, and also two extraordinary community leaders who shepherded the civil union bill through the legislature in Vermont. I introduce to you Beth Robinson and Susan Murray.
Let's have a huge huge thank you for gay and lesbian advocates, defenders, our good friend Mary Bonato and co-counsel, and also Gary and everybody, because we wouldn't be here without them. Gary told you a little bit about what the Vermont Supreme Court had to say about us. We'd like to tell you a little bit about what the Vermont legislature has to say about us. In a law that was passed last Tuesday and signed by the governor of Vermont last Wednesday, the Vermont legislature said this in its preamble. Despite long-standing social and economic discrimination, many gay and lesbian Vermonters have formed lasting, committed, caring, and faithful relationships with persons of their same sex. These couples live together, participate in their communities together, and some raise children and care for family members together, just as do couples who are married under Vermont law. The state has a strong interest in promoting stable and lasting families, including families based upon a same-sex couple.
Ladies and gentlemen, this one sentence in the law, in the new civil unions law summarizes what this bill, this law, used to be a bill, now this law is all about. And I quote, a party to a civil union, parties in a civil union shall have all of the same benefits, protections, and responsibilities under law as are granted to spouses in a marriage. Woo! From the bottom of my heart, I wish for each and every one of you the exact same opportunity for inclusion and respect that we now have in Vermont. I want to say that I'm proud to have on a stage with us today Representative Bill Lippert. Bill is the only openly gay legislator in Vermont, and he played a crucial role in getting this bill passed. Thank you, Bill. And now, finally, I want to introduce to you two people who have played an incredible role in this entire process from the very beginning. Two people who have been courageous and dignified in putting themselves out there in the spotlight. They're two of the six wonderful plaintiffs that Beth and I have had the opportunity and the privilege to represent in Baker versus State. I want to introduce you to Stan Baker and Peter Harrigan. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. It's been 3 years since my partner Stan and I came out to our Vermont neighbors, all 670,000 of them. When our lawsuit was filed and our name was on the front page of every paper in Vermont above the fold. 3 years later, we're proud to stand here as lesbian and gay Vermonters who have more rights than other people in this country because of the civil union bill. I'm so grateful to the people of Vermont and particularly the legislature for making that possible. Now I'd like to introduce my fiance, Stan Baker.
I'd like to thank the Vermont Freedom to Marry Task Force and all the hundreds of gay, lesbian people of Vermont and our straight allies who have worked so hard for the last 5 years making civil union possible. We vow to continue to work to make sure that we keep it that way and to move forward to marriage. Gay and lesbian marriage will only enrich our communities, support our families, model love, passion, commitment and equality for all marriages. Thank you.
Actor Mitchell Anderson, Gary Busick of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, attorneys Beth Robinson and Susan Murray, and Vermont marriage license plaintiffs Stan Baker and Peter Harrigan spoke at the Millennium March on Washington on April 30th. On the other hand, lesbian humorist Kate Clinton speaks all the time at the push of a button. That's if you have her Publishing Mills audiobook, Don't Get Me Started, or if you stay tuned to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine.
So are there any therapists here? They're all going, why do you ask? I never went to therapists, actually. I used to go to confession. I probably would still be going to confession if they gave gas. A nice little tank of helium outside as you're going, hi, Father! Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's all right to lend out your codependency books? I'm actually writing my own book on codependency. Who isn't, babe? All I have is a title so far, and it's called, Hey, I Was Just Trying to Be Nice. Okay, I'll try my new country western codependent song on you. It's called, If You Leave Me, Can I Come Too? If you leave me. Are there any music therapists here? I don't know what they do, but I like the idea of it. Near as I can figure, you go in, explain your problems, and as you're talking, she's going through her record collection. Keep talking, dear. I hear a show tune. I love that idea. I should go to a music therapist because I was raised Catholic, pre-Vatican II. And so I don't understand the words to songs. I mean, if it's not in Latin, and if it's faster than Gregorian chant, I really can't understand it. I should go to a music therapist. I hate movie musicals. I mean, they always sing at the worst times. Yentl almost killed me. Like, oh, she's going to sing, but it's going to be to herself, but we're going to know about it. Sound of Music made me a little grumpy. How many of you are recovering Catholics? See this? Now, the other group, they raise their hands. Catholics raise their hands. We're obedient. Unitarians will not respond. Unitarians think to themselves, yes, I'm a Unitarian. I pray to the unit, so what? And all the Jewish people are looking at me going, oh, here she goes with the Catholics. But I believe that Jews are co-Catholics. And Catholics are co-Jews. What goes around comes around, and where they meet, that's Italian. Catholics are so weird. Catholics are the worst singers. It's true, we are the worst singers. Catholics are the only people I know who can sing and breathe in at the same time. You could go by a Catholic church going full tilt boogie on a Sunday morning and you cannot hear a thing. They're all in there going, Alleluia, Alleluia, everybody. But what's to sing about? This is an organization run by an old guy who wears a Melita filter on his head.
That was lesbian feminist humorist Kate Clinton from her Publishing Mills audiobook, Don't Get Me Started. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Brian Nunes, Graham Underhill, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambidge, Rex Walkner, and Martin Rice contributed program material. Thanks also to Alan Wiley and Planet Out. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by grants from the Gill Foundation, the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, and by Query.com at www.queery.com, by Planet Out, from designated contributions by Uncommon Clout Visa card holders who've chosen This Way Out, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. For audio cassette information, or with any questions or comments about This Way Out, please email us at tworadio@aol.com, visit our webpage at thiswayout.org, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And please be sure to include the call letters of this station. Remember, you can also hear This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. For Greg Gordon and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening on WERU Blue Hill Falls, Maine, Plains FM Christchurch, New Zealand, KEOS College Station, Texas, and more than 100 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.